All right, welcome back. Glad to have you join me as we're going to dive into what we're calling now session one, because it is the first box of evangelism. And if you remember last time, we looked at the four different areas of evangelism. We talked about the pastor being the number one area, and we're going to dig deep into that during this session. Then we said the second area is personal evangelism, so that'll be our next session, session two. And then we'll look at promotion, and we'll deal with that in session three. And then finally, we'll deal with preservation in session four. So we've got four sessions coming up where we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of evangelism, and then we'll wrap it all up with a concluding session a little bit later on. But if you want to find that page in your notes where it says area number one, the role of the pastor in evangelism, if you want to find that, we can follow along. So when I left you last time, I left you to do a little homework, and maybe you put together your evangelism definition. I hope you did. Maybe you had a good discussion about the size of your crowd and the size of your community. I hope that was a worthy discussion for you. But one of the things I left you with is I left you thinking about what are some of the biblical metaphors of evangelism. And so some of my favorite biblical metaphors are found in the parables of the lost coin, the lost sheep. And so God says, I want to do whatever I can to reach these lost people. And just like you would search for a lost coin or a shepherd would go after a lost sheep, then you want to do the same diligence when it comes to evangelism. And then at the same time, that ends with the parable of the lost son, of what we often call the prodigal son. And maybe you never thought of the prodigal son as an evangelism story, but it is this welcoming back of those who are lost. And so all three of those kind of carry with it a metaphor of lostness. And that's one of the metaphors the Bible uses. And sometimes we even refer to somebody who's unchurched or somebody who doesn't have a relationship with Christ. We refer to them as lost. And that's a biblical metaphor. Well, I want to introduce you to another metaphor that'll get you thinking about your church and about where you are. And it's not found in the Bible. It's actually just one that I've developed to kind of help my coaching members and help you think about where you are as a church. And so you'll notice that in your notes, it says a primary role of the pastor. And I would even expand that. I would say the pastor and key leaders, but this is a session about the pastor. The primary role of the pastor is to keep the evangelistic temperature of a church at the boiling point. And that's really what everybody wants. We want a church that has a hot evangelistic culture. We want to have a church that's reaching more people this year than we reached last year. We're baptizing more people this year than we baptized last year. So we want this to be at a boiling point. We want the evangelistic temperature to be really hot. And so a question for you, what is the current evangelistic temperature of my church? Ooh, that's a big question, huh? And so you say, how do I get a handle on that? How do I gauge this evangelistic temperature? Well, you're going to have a discussion after this is over. But one of the ways that you can gauge it is how many first-time commitments to Christ did you have over the last year? That may be the key measurement when it comes to your evangelism system. So did you reach a dozen people? Did you reach 100 people? Did you reach 1,000 people? How many people said yes to Christ in your church over the last year? And this should be a number that you want to track, a number that you want to pay attention to. And so that's a key indicator of the health of your evangelism system. Now, related to that is how many of those were baptized? And you know, in every church, there's a gap between the number of people who come to faith in Christ and the number of baptisms. And sometimes that has to do with age. Maybe they come to faith in Christ a little early and you want to wait just a bit for them to be baptized till they get a little older and understand. At other times, it has to do with the fact that someone is very unchurched and they come to faith in Christ and they keep delaying for unbiblical reasons. They keep delaying their baptism. But you know, a lot of times at the journey, we might have several hundred people come to faith in Christ, but in that particular year, only baptized 200 or 300. So there's this gap. And it bothers me. And it's something I've had to learn to just live with. And we'll see a little bit later on in one of our sessions as to why this gap actually happens when we dig into the parable of the sower. But for now, that is a key measurement. So don't beat yourself up too much if you've got a little bit of a gap. You know, if there's 20% more who come to faith in Christ that are getting baptized, or even if there's a greater gap in that, which we can go to work on in these sessions. But baptism is an important number. Faith in Christ is an important number. Another number is how many people in your church are inviting their friends. So on any given Sunday, how many people bring someone with them? This could be an unchurched person. It could be somebody who maybe is already a Christian, but they're looking for a church or whatever it might be. But it is a measurement. And so you want to have a culture where week after week, week in and week out, people invite their friends to come with them. And one of the ways you can count this is you can kind of guess what it might be. You know, in a certain size church, you as the pastor, you can kind of say on an average Sunday, we have about 2 people who are inviting their friends. On an average Sunday, we have about 3 people inviting their friends. And then when you get into a larger church, like at our church, we have to measure it through our connection cards. Now, the connection card is a part of the evangelism, or excuse me, part of the assimilation system. And so I don't have time to go into that, but it is a card that everybody fills out every week. And one of the questions that we ask on the connection card is, how did you hear about The Journey, which is the name of our church? How did you hear about our church? And then people write down the name of a friend who invited them. So when we go through our cards, we can look down and say, oh, Teresa invited this person. Oh, Jose invited this person, or whatever it might be. And we can kind of get a gauge of how many people were there on a Sunday because a friend who invited them. And it's not an exact number. And again, none of these are going to be precise, but you're looking to get a gauge, to get a temperature within a certain degree of accuracy. And so that's important. And then another one that's related to that, which also falls under assimilation, which is the number of first-time guests. How many first-time guests do you have on an average Sunday in your church? Now, there's a lot of reasons somebody might come to church for the first time. They might be unchurched and they're prompted by the Spirit of God to come. And remember, that's what we said, that's where the evangelism system starts, when somebody comes to church for the first time because they're prompted by the Spirit. So they might be unchurched. So that's really important. If you're reaching the unchurched, you want to have some unchurched first-time guests. But at the same time, they might be a Christian in the community who's new and looking for a church like yours, or they might be somebody who's a church hopper or something like that. So first-time guests cannot always indicate a healthy evangelistic culture, because maybe you're just reaching Christians, but it is worth looking at. And it's worth trying to get a legitimate gauge of, okay, how many of our first-time guests truly are unchurched? How many of our first-time guests really are lost and separated from Christ, but they're coming on a regular basis? A couple more that I would think are important. One is, how many scheduled evangelistic events do you have to mobilize your people for evangelism? So over the last year, how many intentional projects did you do to try to reach your community? And the answer I hear over and over when people come into coaching is very little. Maybe one evangelism event that they might have done, maybe one kindness outreach or servant evangelism outreach, but very few churches are doing this on a consistent basis. Even churches sometimes that are growing, and you would say they have a healthy evangelistic culture, they don't have enough evangelistic activities scheduled to go out into the community. Now, other churches, this is their strength. This is what they really do. And so at The Journey, I would say on average, we have about 5 to 6 over the course of the year opportunities for people in our church to go out into the community and do some kind of evangelistic work. Not community service. I'm not talking about feeding the hungry or serving the poor. I'm talking about reaching into that community that we're trying to reach, that big number of our community, and sharing our faith with them in very simple ways, or giving opportunities to share in more profound ways if possible. So if you've got 3 or 4 of those scheduled, that's probably going to raise the evangelistic temperature of your church, and it can go into this number as well. If you've got none scheduled, it's pulling the evangelistic temperature down, and we'll try to fix that in the coming sessions. Maybe a last one I'll give you is, how many people do you estimate over the course of a year are praying for their unchurched friends? So what kind of system, what kind of process, what kind of mechanism do you have to mobilize people in your church to pray for their friends? And this is a very important number. And again, you're not going to know precisely because you don't know people's hearts. You don't know what goes on in their private prayer life. But it becomes key to trying to figure out the evangelistic temperature, because one of the ways you raise the evangelistic temperature is you raise the number of people who are praying for the unchurched. So all that goes into it. And so you can begin to see this is kind of a messy number. It's kind of an uncertain number. But it can also be very critical to the growth of your church. So if you look at the scale in your notes, in my fancy drawing of a temperature there, don't judge me on my drawing, it's the best I could do for your notes. But it says on a scale of 0 to 150, and I'll kind of explain why it's 150 here in a moment, what's the evangelistic temperature of your church? So 0 would be a church that's frozen. You've all heard those jokes about the chosen frozen. So this is a church that is frozen. And maybe your church is not very far from that. Maybe that's what's led you to be involved in this team edition today. And that's why you're going through these sessions together, because you're trying to unfreeze a church that's been stuck for a long time. But so a low number, you know, 0, 20, 30, those are churches that are kind of stuck. But then a church that is boiling sort of has an average evangelistic temperature. So you are seeing results. You are seeing people come to faith in Christ. You are seeing baptisms. You might even be on pace with where you've been in previous years. You might say, we're at 100. We're at a boiling point. You know, things are happening in our church. But where I really want to get you is I want to get you up closer to 150. This is where it's boiling over. This is, you know, it's like a pot on a stove. You know, it starts out and you can't even tell anything's happening. And then little by little, it warms up. Then you start to see some bubbles and you start to see a little bit of boil coming in those waters. But then eventually it gets so hot, it just starts steaming and starts boiling over. Well, that's where I want your evangelistic temperature to be. And the truth is, you can make great strides just in the time that we have together, just in these few short sessions that we're going to be doing together over the coming time. You can make some significant difference. I've seen churches go from frozen to boiling in a matter of 3, 4, 5 months. I've seen churches go from boiling to boiling over in that same amount of time period. So as God gives us this time to work on our church, it's very possible for a church to sustain itself. So I don't know where you are in that equation, but I tell you, there's a lot of hope. And so if you're in a lower number, there's great hope for your church. If you already have a higher number and you're here just because you want to maximize those results, you're going to find some things to do to keep that temperature hot. Now, one of the things I've noticed and one of the things we're going to work on in these coming sessions is that some churches, they have a time where they boil over, but then they have a time where they fall back below even 100. So they have time where they're steaming hot, but then they have time where they get borderline cold. And so they have an inconsistent evangelism system. And so when the pastor gets passionate about it, or you watch a DVD like this, you get really excited and you go out and you do a bunch of stuff. And so for the next 3 or 4 months, someone's really excited and they're making progress evangelistically, but then it's easy to get distracted. And so then we'll go 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months with no evangelism activity. So it goes from boiling hot to almost freezing cold over the course of a year. Well, then maybe another seminar will come along or another book will come along, and then we'll try to turn up the heat again. Well, what we're looking for is we're looking for a sustainable heat over a long period of time. And then that's really what I want to help you create. I want to help you create a sustainable evangelistic system so that you're just as hot on evangelism in January as you are at Easter, as you are in the summer, as you are that fall. And so over and over and over, you're seeing results. Now, this doesn't mean that every week is like a Billy Graham crusade. There is an element of give and take in evangelism, of you do this and then you let that rest for a little while. And we'll look at some of that stress and release idea as we go along. But when we take time off from evangelism, or when we're not specifically focused on evangelism, it's not very long. And so instead of there being a long cooling off period, there's just short breaks in between the system and calendar that you're developing inside of your church. And I hope to show you that as we go along. If you turn over, you'll see there's 3 ways that the pastor can raise the evangelistic temperature. So let me just talk to the pastor for just a moment. And I want all the rest of you to listen in, because you should know what kind of burden the Lord has placed on the pastor, what kind of responsibility the pastor has, and then know your role in supporting the pastor. So I hope you'll support the pastor in all of these different areas that we're going to be looking at. But one of the things I have to say pastor to pastor is that if you go back to our first session on really like the first page of your notes, I showed you that there are 8 systems of a church. Many of those systems, pastor, you can delegate. Many of those systems you can barely be involved in, and they can be healthy. For example, assimilation is a very critical system, But once you get it up and running, you can delegate a lot of that. And so week to week, your involvement in the assimilation system is very minimal. You won't be able to totally get out of it because you're still writing handwritten notes and you're following up on prayer requests and things like that from your connection cards. But your overall involvement in running the system is not critical. It's important, but it's not critical. But then there are a handful of systems. Stewardship is one. Leadership is one. And guess what the third one is? Evangelism. Evangelism is one of the systems where you cannot separate yourself from the system. You cannot be minimally involved. You have to be fully engaged in the system. So that's not too bad, 3 out of 8 that you have to be fully involved in. But I want to challenge you to be engaged in the evangelism system. And you know, as our church has grown and we've got a large staff and we've got multiple pastors and multiple teaching pastors, there's all kinds of things I can delegate. And there's pieces of the evangelism system, big pieces that I've delegated, but I've never given up my leadership. I've never given up the visionary part of the evangelism system. I have to drive that. I have to drive that consistently and sustainably over the course of a year, and I have to do that year after year after year. And so maybe some of you remember back in the last session, I told you that when I first went in ministry, a pastor told me, Nelson, you have the gift of the evangelist. Now, I don't know if that's actually true or not. I do love evangelism, and I do think in some ways God has gifted me for evangelism, but I'm not sure that I have the spiritual gift of evangelism. I think I have other gifts that are more important. But you may say, well, Nelson, if you have the gift of the evangelist, then this must come easy for you because you've got that gift. But that's not true. You know, maybe you think you've got the gift of evangelism. Well, still, running an evangelistic system does not come easy, even if you have the gift of evangelism. Now, at the same time, I can hear some of you saying, well, I don't have that gift. You know, my gifts fall more into the discipleship area. Well, I still would say to you that you want to do the work of the evangelist. In fact, I want to give you the scripture here as we get into our notes. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. It says, but you should keep a clear mind in every situation. That's one of the reasons you need a system. A system gives you clarity. And you say, what is evangelism? Well, it's these four areas that we're working on in these sessions. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Now, underline this next phrase. Work at bringing others to Christ. So I want you to underline that. Work at bringing others to Christ. Complete the ministry God has given you. I love that last phrase, and I built a whole coaching network around helping people fulfill their calling and not be average in the way that they do things. But for our purposes today, I want you to look at that where it says, work at bringing others to Christ. It doesn't say if you have the gift of evangelism, work at bringing others to Christ. It doesn't say delegate the work to other people when it comes to bringing others to Christ. It says work at it. And the truth is, this is work. It does require some intentionality. It does require some planning. It does require some prayer. It requires a consistent focus. And so it is work. And so this is why I would say to all of you who aren't the lead pastor, you want to support your pastor in this. Doing evangelism is hard work. Preaching evangelistically is hard work. Putting together a calendar of evangelistic events is hard work. Holding people accountable to evangelism is hard work. Mobilizing the church to go out into the community is hard work. Doing special evangelistic events, it's hard work. And so, Pastor, I understand that this is work, but I want you also to sense that it's part of your calling. And, you know, if you're kind of like me, you know, I've been in ministry a long time, and really every day that I get to do ministry is hardly a day of work. It is a day of effort. It's often a time of sweat and productivity, but it's not work. It's part of this calling that God has put on my life. And so part of your calling is to do and lead the evangelism system that we're looking at. So what does that mean practically? Well, there's three ways that you can lead the evangelism system in your church, and there's three ways you can raise the evangelistic temperature. So let me give you these. I was ordained Baptist, so they all start with S, so I'm kind of recovering as part of that. The number one is the stage. That was a little pastoral humor for those of you that didn't get that, so maybe your pastor got it. That the first way that you can raise the evangelistic temperature of your church is through the stage. Now, you may not call it the stage at your church. You may call it the platform or the pulpit or something like that. But every week, you stand in front of your people. And as you stand in front of your people, either hosting a service or preaching a sermon, there are different ways that you can raise the evangelistic temperature. For example, you can strategically use your sermons. You can use challenges that you offer to the church. You can use announcements. You can do vision casting. All of that from the stage or the pulpit, and it will raise the evangelistic temperature of your church. So I want you to see that 52 times a year, or maybe your church takes off a week, so 51 times a year, whatever it is, the number of times that you're on stage, every time you step into that pulpit, you have an opportunity to do something that raises the evangelistic temperature. So what are some ways you can do it? Well, one way is you can tell evangelistic stories. So you can talk about how people are coming to faith in Christ. You can talk about somebody who shared their faith. You can talk about how you're sharing your faith. You can talk about your successes. And just as importantly, you can talk about your failures. People love to hear that you tried to do something, but it didn't work out. You tried to invite a friend to church, but it didn't work out. But you're persistent and you keep praying for them. People want to see that. You can have testimonies. Have people who recently were baptized or people who recently come to faith in Christ. Have them share their testimony at your church. And you do that by bringing them on stage with you and having people hear their story. And that raises and keeps the evangelistic temperature boiling hot. You can do it through your call for commitments. You know, more than likely, you end every sermon with some kind of call to commitment. So you call people to follow Christ. You call people to pray for their friends. You call people to go out and witness in their community. You challenge people to be a part of an evangelistic event that you have coming up. You can do it through big days, and that's a fill-in in your notes. Utilize big days. And I think the big day is one of the most powerful ways that you can raise the evangelistic temperature of your church. And it all starts with Easter, which is the biggest day of all. And from time to time, I'm going to reference other resources that I have because the evangelism seminar is just one of really a solar system of resources that we have to support you in evangelism. So for example, I have a resource called Maximizing Easter. And it's actually one that we update every year with the latest lessons that we're learning about Easter and the latest marketing materials and all that we're using in Easter. So if you're interested in that, you can go to churchleaderinsights.com, the website that's at the bottom of your notes. You can go to churchleaderinsights.com and learn more. And I'll show you a little bit about how Easter works, but I don't have time to do a full seminar here just on Easter. But Easter's a big day, and you can challenge people to pray for their friends, to invite their friends. And truthfully, more people are going to come to church on Easter than any other time of the year, even unchurched people. So this is a great way for you to raise the evangelistic temperature. But then you can create other big days. And you can create a fall big day, or you can create a February big day, or we have a big day in the middle of the summer because so many people move to our communities in the summertime. Well, for more on that, there's another seminar that I have, and it's the same title as my book that I referenced earlier, but it's all about big days. It's called The Ignite Seminar. The Ignite Seminar. And it's not the same as the book that you might be reading with that. It's sort of the latter half of the book, and then I really expand it into a full seminar. So I've mentioned challenges. You can challenge and remind people to reach out. You can do that when the sermon allows, or you can remind people during the connection card time to invite their friends. You can teach a sermon series on evangelism. You know, one of the disciplines I've tried to work into my preaching calendar is every 3 years, I do a 3, 4, or 5-part series just on sharing your faith. And I found that if I do that in the church about every 3 years, it kind of keeps that evangelistic temperature going. If you want to see an example of that, I have a little book called The Difference Maker. And I did an evangelism sermon series on sharing your faith called The Difference Maker. And then later I wrote a book about that to help you do it in your church as well. So you might want to check that out again on Amazon or Christian bookstores that you can find. You can Google it online and find out more about that. But you've got to teach a sermon series on personal evangelism. I mean, think about it. When was the last time you did that? When was the last time you really spent a 4, 5, or 6-week period just teaching on sharing your faith? Well, that can give a real boost to your evangelism system. You want to utilize a preaching calendar, and I have regular webinars on that. Again, check the website every November. I do a preaching calendar webinar, and you can learn more about that and how you can structure that. You can give immediate opportunities for action. You know, if you teach on, go out and share your faith, give them something to do. Give them an immediate project that they can go out and do. And then one of my favorites is special evangelistic events. These are events that you plan in the course of your calendar that are designed to either attract a crowd to your church or are designed to mobilize your people to share their faith. And my favorite special evangelistic event is servant evangelism. Again, you can search online to find that. I have a resource on the website called Reaching Your Community Through Servant Evangelism. I also have a resource called Reaching the Unchurched, and I go specifically into certain evangelism events that you can do to reach the unchurched. So you begin to see how powerful this stage can become. And sometimes we underestimate the power of just doing little things in the pulpit that can make a big difference. But then at the same time, we often underestimate big things that we can do. So if you look at the next section in your notes, one of the big things that you can do to reach people for Christ is plan big days consistently in your church. So if you look at this calendar that we have, go ahead and put a little asterisk by February, an asterisk by Easter, and a little asterisk by September, October. And so in this preaching calendar example that I've given you, there's three big days that we're doing throughout the year. And if the big day concept is new to you, I would encourage you to explore it more in the back half of the Ignite book or get the Ignite seminar and really go deep into this, because a big day, by definition, is an all-out push toward a single Sunday for the purpose of setting an attendance record. That's kind of cool, but at the same time, reaching more people for Christ than ever before. And so you could use the first part of the year to build up toward a February big day. Then you use the second part of the year to build up toward Easter. And then you use the last part of the year, the fall, to build up toward a fall big day. And so a church's attendance goes from big day to big day to big day. And I've seen churches use the big day concept, and they go from 125 to maybe 250 over the course of a couple of years in attendance just by going from big day to big day to big day. And so I hope you'll really explore the big day concept, because it goes hand in hand with the evangelism seminar. So we've talked about the stage. A second way that you as the pastor can raise the evangelistic temperature in your church is through the staff. And I want to define staff not just as paid staff, and that could be part-time staff as well as full-time staff, but also like key lay people in your church. So, you know, those of you that are watching this with your pastor, I'm going to kind of include you in that. So I'm going to include key leaders in with the staff. So this is a big portion of your church. So it's kind of like the top 10% of leaders, and then also those who are paid staff. Well, pastor, part of your role is to ensure that this percentage of people, this 5% of people that attend your church, they are especially engaged in evangelism. And you can do this by challenging them to be accountable to you when it comes to sharing their faith, praying for their unchurched friends, and inviting people to come to church with them. Now, here's an interesting stat. For a church to have a boiling hot evangelistic temperature, it does not require 50% of your church to be involved in evangelism. It doesn't even require 20% of your church to be involved in evangelism. Many churches can see their evangelism temperature remain boiling hot by engaging only 5% of their church in evangelism activities. Now, obviously, the bigger you are, the bigger that 5% number is going to be, and the more stuff you can do. But you think about that, 5%. That means if you're in a church of 100, it really only takes 5 people to start turning the evangelistic temperature. Now, it doesn't mean you only involve the 5%. You do, the 5% does things that might involve bigger percentages of the church or higher number of people in the church by planning events and things of that nature. But don't think, I've got to get everybody in my church on board. I've got to get half of my church on board. You just got to get a small percentage on board. And once you get that small percentage, it can begin to grow and grow and grow. Now, eventually, to have the most healthy church that you can have, you want to engage about 20% of your church in evangelistic activities. But it can start, and it can change through as little as 5%. And I hope that is encouraging to you. So I want you to think about the 5% of your church that you could hold accountable to, notice what it says in your notes, serve in evangelistic activities, to pray for their unchurched friends, write this down, to fast and pray for big days, fast and pray for big days, to invite their friends to church, and to intentionally build relationships with the unchurched. And you know, a little side note here, when you're doing this, you're not only helping the evangelistic temperature of your church, but you're helping them grow as Christians. Because evangelism and discipleship are not in opposition, they go hand in hand. You know, if someone is not sharing their faith, they're not growing in their faith like they could be. Because part of growing in your faith, a significant part of that, is learning how to share your faith with other people. And so part of your discipleship ministry to the leaders in your church is to challenge them and help them share their faith. And so it can start with that 5%. So one of the things you might discuss when the session is over here in just a couple of minutes is you might want to discuss who are the 5% in our church that we can best mobilize. And again, if it's a smaller church, it's a whole lot easier. When it gets to a bigger church, you have to start thinking in groups of people, like key leaders that you can hold accountable. But you can build the system where that 5% is always one step ahead of everybody else when it comes to what's going on evangelistically in your church. And that can turn the tide. And then the last area that the pastor has control of that can really affect the evangelistic temperature of your church is the structure of a church. And so what you want to do as a pastor is you want to use your influence, use your leadership, use your vision to intentionally structure your church for evangelism. So what does that look like? Well, on a very practical level, it means calendaring, putting on the calendar, regular evangelistic events. So you say, we as a church over the next year, we're going to calendar an evangelistic event before Easter. We're going to calendar an evangelistic event before back to school. We're going to calendar several evangelistic events in the summer, because summer is a great time to do evangelistic events. And again, learn more about servant evangelism. You can search that online. You can pick up my resource about that. And you can find out on the web, you can find all kinds of ideas about servant evangelism projects that you can do, as well as other evangelistic events. You can also structure your church so that throughout the course of the year, there are people who are sharing their testimonies and sharing their stories of life change on a Sunday. That might be by showing baptism videos or showing testimonial videos or having people live give their testimony, but you structure that into your preaching. Then you want to celebrate evangelism. And you can do that by just reminding people each week of what they're doing is important. Or after a big day or after Easter, share the number of first-time guests that you had, share the attendance number, share the number of people who came to faith in Christ. Whatever you celebrate in your church, it's going to be repeated and it's going to be done again. So you want to celebrate evangelism. Find ways, if you can, to reward people who invite their friends. And if you see that Jose invited a friend on his connection card, then the next time you see Jose, congratulate him for that, reward him for that. If you see that Jose is inviting a lot of people to church, then maybe give him some additional training or put some books in his hands like The Difference Maker or Contagious Christian or other kind of books that might be helpful to him in sharing his faith. You want to engage small groups in evangelism. You know, how could you structure it so that once or twice a year, every Sunday school class or every small group does some kind of evangelism project? You know, maybe you structure those evangelism outreaches, and that particular week, the group doesn't meet, but they go out and they serve at that evangelism project. Again, utilize big days. And then develop a promotion and marketing strategy. And we're going to get into that in more detail in a future session. The point I want to make and leave you with in this session is that the pastor and those who love him or her and support those who want to support their pastor, you have to help your pastor, and pastor, you have to lead the way in keeping the evangelistic temperature of your church boiling hot. And you know, I've worked with a lot of churches, and most of the time they see great results. But the handful of times that I've seen a church go through training like this and then never really get it off the ground, it's because the pastor just abdicated leadership. And look, I know that's not you. You wouldn't be doing these sessions if you were abdicating leadership in there, but I'm just sort of telling you like it is. And so, pastor, I challenge you to take what we've been looking at, to use this group of people that are going through this session with you, and to structure your church, to challenge your staff and key lay leaders, and to use the power of the stage to keep that evangelistic temperature boiling hot. So you talk about that in your discussion and some of the other things that we've talked about. And I've given you a lot of ideas already that you can consider when it comes to your calendar, when it comes to what you do in the pulpit and what you do on the stage. So if you have a great discussion, thanks for being a part of this session. See you next time.